Tonight we're looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, question answer 104, the fifth commandment. You can find that on page 891 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnals. Page 891, question answer 104. I will read this question and we can all respond together with the answer. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule me. Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, tonight we'll be looking at verses 11 through 25. First Peter chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 11, but before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The grass withers and the flowers fall. The word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, a story is told about a member of the British Parliament who would give great speeches, but he wouldn't stick with the facts. When it came to issues, he would really speak well, but there was no logic to what he was saying. Someone who was finally fed up with his disregard for the truth and the facts and him just saying whatever he wanted finally said he uses facts the way a drunk uses a lamppost. More for support than illumination. Now it would be easy for us to look at the passage we have in front of us this evening and do the same thing. Use it in the wrong way. Instead of looking at what it's telling us about submission, just use it as a launching point for a sermon about when insubordination is needed. Simply using the passage to support what we actually want to hear. But what is this passage talking about? It's talking about submission. Submission to authority. Now, what do you hear when you hear the word submission? It's not usually a positive thing when we're talking about submission. It's usually a negative thing in our minds or an unsettling thing. Something that, when we think about submission, we think about being dominated or forced to do something that we don't want to do or being taken advantage of or like a doormat. And I wonder if that's why in our ESV translations, instead of translating the verb submit for the Lord's sake, the translation is be subject. Because in our culture, that word submission carries some baggage. So what does it mean to submit to those in authority over us? I mean, our Canadian brothers and sisters are asking that same question right now. What does submission like when you have a government that's telling you not to worship? And so instead of seeing and looking at this passage and seeing what we want to see in it, tonight we're going to look at this passage and learn what it is teaching us about submission. How we are called to submit to those in authority over us. Tonight we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. In light of the fifth commandment and what the fifth commandment teaches us. The fifth commandment starts by saying, obey mom and dad, but then it expands even further to all those in authority over us. Submitting ourselves with proper obedience to their teaching and discipline. For by their hand, God wills to rule us. And that's what Peter is talking about here. That's what he's mentioning in this chapter. It's a call to submit, as difficult as that can be. It's us submitting to those in authority, and as we do so, we are ultimately submitting to God. And that's the key to keep in mind this evening as we look at this passage. Our submission to those in authority over us is exemplifying Christ's submission. And it's ultimately us obeying and submitting to God. And so tonight, as we look at this passage together, we'll look first of all at our submission. And then secondly, their submission, those in authority. And third and finally, Christ's submission. And so first, our submission. Be subject for the Lord's sake, our passage says, to every human institution. Whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. And so the command here is to submit, be subject to every human institution on earth, to the emperor or the governor. Why? For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? Boys and girls sang about it tonight. What is God's will for us? In the fifth commandment, that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, But it doesn't end there, because it's also all those in authority over me. And so we learn, boys and girls, we learn when we obey mom and dad, we are learning how to submit and obey everyone else in our life who has authority over us. And ultimately, we're learning how to obey and submit to God. Showing honor and love and faithfulness to all those in authority over us. Submitting ourselves with proper obedience for the Lord's sake. To every authority instituted among man. Every human institution. Whether it's the emperor as supreme, or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. Submission is placing yourself under the authority of another. What is submission? Notice the command here is not to obey, but rather to be subject to or to submit, which implies obedience. It's placing yourself under the authority of another, recognizing your place in the hierarchy of authority. You have you, verses 13, being subject to every authority. We get to verse 18, servants or slaves, be subject to your masters with all respect. And then you can even jump over to chapter 3, verse 1, wives, be subject or submissive to your husbands. Now, when we're talking about submission or being subject, we're not talking about blind, unquestioning obedience to the one who is above you, but rather it's a submission to those who are in authority with God as the ultimate authority. God is the one at top, on the top, and so this idea of submitting takes into account the bigger picture. It involves obedience, but it takes into account that this obedience is ultimately towards God. God is the one whom we are obeying. God is the one we are submitting to. Submit yourself, be subject for the Lord's sake. So you're ultimately submitting to the Lord as you submit to those who are in authority, to every human institution or every authority among men. Now, as we think about that, the motivation for our obedience, why we are submitting, we need to keep in mind that more often than not, the reason that we obey is because we don't want the punishments for disobeying. The reason we are subject or submit is because we don't want the punishment. We don't want the consequences of disobeying. The reason our stomachs sink when we fly past the police officer hiding on the side of the road in Merrill isn't because we're thinking, oh, I've failed to submit to the governing authorities in my life and therefore I have failed to obey and submit to God. No, we're thinking, I don't want a ticket. I'm afraid of the consequences. Our motivation is not conscience at that point, doing what is right, but rather fear of punishment, not wanting to pay the ticket. Now, it's different for us as Christians, isn't it? As Christians, we obey the authorities not simply because of what will happen if we don't, or the consequences if we disobey. But the primary and the more basic reason for us doing what is right or obeying is because it's right. Because it's ultimately us obeying God. Verse 24. In Christ we die to sin. He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. We are living for what is right. And it is right to submit to those whom God has placed in authority over us. Since God authorized our rulers and places them over us, we are to submit and obey because this is what's right. And in this way, we as Christians have an even stronger reason for obedience than anyone else, because our submission isn't just to that police officer or those in authority over us. Our submission and obedience is ultimately to God. And this is the primary reason why we as Christians strive to be the best citizens out there. Because when we submit to those in authority over us, whether that means paying our taxes or that ticket or honoring and respecting those in authority over us, we are ultimately showing our love for the Lord who placed these authorities in our life. Now once again, boys and girls, this is why it's so important to obey mom and dad. We aren't just obeying mom and dad because we're afraid of the punishments or the consequences if we don't. We obey mom and dad because we're ultimately obeying God. It's not first about us submitting to that authority figure. It's first of all about us submitting to God out of our love for Him. And that's why we submit to the governing authorities, because God is the one who has put them there. That's our submission, first of all. Secondly, we're looking at their submission. So now we're talking about those who are in positions of authority. Our passage mentions the emperor as supreme, or the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. You could jump back to Romans chapter 13, and there it says, let every person be subject or submit to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And so ultimately, when it comes to those who are in authority, they are submitting to God. Because they've been sent by Him to punish those who are doing right and to punish those who are doing wrong and commend those who are doing right. God is the one who appoints the governing officials. He's the one who puts them into place. And that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 13. That's why we're told to submit to them. They're there because God has put them there. And so when we watch the news, or when we hear about what's happening in America, government and the politics that surround it all, it's easy for us to forget the truths that we see here in 1 Peter 2 and even in Romans 13. That God is the one who establishes all authority. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And so behind the politics is the fact that God is sovereignly upholding all things with His fatherly hand. Behind the nominations, behind the elections, the rising and the falling of nations is God. Behind the politicking, behind the posturing, behind the threatening, behind the rising and falling of nations, God is upholding all things and putting rulers into place. Now, as we think about every authority instituted among men being put there by God, what does this mean for bad authorities? What does this mean for those who aren't doing their jobs well at any level of authority? We watch the news. We see what's happening with corrupt leaders or dictators, or you can work your way down and find bad apples at every level of the chain of command. Whether it's in the Middle East or Africa or South America or Asia or Europe or even here in North America. But as we read verses 13 and 14, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So we're submitting for God's sake. When you think of Romans 13, it says there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Is God telling people, even under bad dictators, to submit? As you read what Peter's writing here, we need to keep in mind that what Peter faced at the hands of those who were in authority over him. Peter was thrown into prison. Peter was threatened. Peter was flogged. Peter isn't saying submit to the governing authorities if they are good or because they are good. He's saying submit to the governing authorities for the Lord's sake. Even if they're bad, verse 19, for this is a gracious thing. When, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. It is commendable, it is praiseworthy if a man bears up or a woman bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he or she is conscious of God, thinking about God. The Roman emperor during Peter's time was Nero. And we know how horrible Nero was, how evil Nero was, how he persecuted the church, dipping Christians in tar and lighting them on fire as torches for his garden. Peter knew what unjust, corrupt government was like. But he's not covering that here. His point is that rulers may misuse the authority that God has given to them, but that doesn't change the fact that it was God who gave that authority to them. It's a delegated authority from God. Our governing authorities are ultimately accountable to God, who is the source of their authority. And that's the perspective that we also see in Jesus Christ when he comes before Pilate, unjustly accused and condemned. Here you have Jesus submitting to the governing authorities, even though it is complete injustice. And Jesus is the example that we are called to follow. In John 19, verse 11, he says to Pilate, "You would have no power over me." So Jesus is telling Pilate that Pilate has power over him if it were not given to you from above. And that's an example of Christ's submission. The submission that we are called to have here. Third and finally, Christ's submission. Live as servants of God, verse 16 tells us. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. There we have four commands. Honor everyone, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood, love your fellow believers. Fear God, that reverence, fear, reverential fear. Honor those in authority. Verse 18, servants, be subject, submit to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. So submit yourself to your master, not only to the nice masters, not only to the good and considerate masters, but also to the unfair masters, also to the harsh masters. And then he explains why. For verse 19, for this is a gracious thing. This is a commendable thing when we're thinking about God, when mindful of God, when endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. It's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's thinking about God and ultimately submitting to God. Just like Christ did. For what good is it, he goes on to say, for what good is it if you suffer because you've sinned? If you sin and you're beaten and you bear that, what good is that? You deserve that punishment. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God, a gracious thing in the sight of God. Now, even though there's not a direct analogy between servants mentioned here and workers today, what Peter is saying, his instructions here still apply to all those who serve harsh or unfair leaders. You can think of the words of Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. Working for the Lord, submitting to the Lord, and not for men. There's that boss, that supervisor, that manager who makes our job more miserable than it needs to be. And we should think, if God could command servants, actually servants, I mean, verse 18, servants here could be translated as slaves. So slaves at that time, but here's another example of us carrying baggage of American slavery, and so the ESV translates it as servants, because that fits the reality that's being described here more than the baggage we carry with the term slavery. But here we have servants who are in a tougher situation than I am, and they're called to submit, even to harsh masters. And if that's the case, then we can submit to those in authority over us, even if they are harsh or unfair. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for men. For to this you have been called, verse 21, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. When we've been called to suffer, it's because suffering is part of the life of Christ, which we have been called to imitate. Christ is our example of submission, even in the face of suffering. And Peter is focusing on the suffering that Jesus went through, and he endured. And at the end of our passage here, he's pulling from Isaiah 53. Jesus suffered when they hurled insults at him, and his response when he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to God. Yes, I'm being treated unfairly by Pilate here, but ultimately I'm putting myself in the hands of God who judges justly and is fair. And then you see the references to Isaiah 53. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How does Peter translate that? For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And it's because of that salvation, who you are in Christ, your shepherd, that we are being called, in light of the fifth commandment, to submit to those in authority over us. Our call to submission is in light of Christ's submission for us. And in this, we're given the big biblical picture of what submission is. Not submitting once you've been dominated or humiliated or overpowered, but a willing submission like Christ's towards the Father, as he bore our sins so that we might have his righteousness. So when we are called to submit to those in authority over us, it's not because they're such great employers or bosses or governing authorities or officials or leaders. It's based on Christ. It's for the Lord's sake and his willing submission for our salvation. And this call to be subject, to submit, can be difficult. But it's ultimately us submitting and imitating the submission of Christ. A life lived following Christ's example. A life of submission. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will enable us to respond to your calling in the fifth commandment in a way that honors and shows love and faithfulness to our fathers and mothers and to all those who are in authority over us. That we will submit and be subject to all their good teachings and disciplines, and also patient with their failings, because we recognize that it's by their hand that you will to rule us. And as we strive to submit, Lord, we do so following the example of Jesus Christ, who gave up his life so that we could live, who bore our sins in submission to your will so that we might have his righteousness. In light of that salvation, Lord, help us to live lives of submission for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.